Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
If you was born in New York City, let me say you know that. I was born in New York City.
New York. New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York City.
New York, New York.
New York. New York. New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
New York City.
New York, New York.
New York.
Hey yo, walk upon a rhyme where the scenery sets. You see stress, sweet's a matter of life and death.
Is up. It is Monday night. It is 9 p.m. and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host Anthony Riceballs Donahue with you, going to take you up until 11 o'clock right here, always on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. You can hit me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceballs. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And I really appreciate everybody spending your Monday evening with me. Hope you had a good weekend. From the looks of it, and the word on the street, and the websites, and the TV, it looks like we're getting more snow. It's like, you know, you live in New York, and it's always really cold, especially in New York. I mean, I grew up upstate, so I know about having snow from October to May. But in New York City, yeah, it's always cold all winter. But this winter, with the snow, has been out of control. I've never seen so much snow in New York City. Now, growing up in Walton, in the Catskills, of course. I mean, when you got your first snowfall in October, you probably didn't see grass until, you know, May? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. 646-478-5554 is the number, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Got a big show planned for you. As always, I'll take your calls all night, and we'll be joined by Alan Hahn from Newsday. And we'll talk some Knicks with him. So let's get right into it. Last night at the Garden was a fun night. The Knicks didn't play a, you know, great team, and I don't think it was a game the Knicks were that hyped up for, because, you know, you're playing, no disrespect, but you're playing a team that's 17-31. You're not going to be banging your head against the wall in the locker room. But it was a big game for the Knicks, coming off a bad loss Friday night in Atlanta with the fight with Sean Williams and Marv Williams at the end. And so, and also last night with the Knicks having with Sean Williams out and Wilson Chandler out, Amari Stoudemire, you didn't know if he was going to play. So you knew guys like Anthony Randolph were going to play. You knew guys like Timofey were going to play. You didn't know what was about to take place. You didn't know what type of magical night it was going to be. Now, obviously, Amari Stoudemire did his thing with 33 points. Danilo Gallinari with another spectacular game. And I'll tell you what, Gallo has been great ever since coming back from his injury. He's getting to the basket like it's his job. I don't know how he does it, because at times it's just so damn awkward. And when he gets fouled, sometimes the ball, like, goes into other countries and stuff. But, hey, if you're going to the line, you're getting two shots, I have no problem with it. But when Timofey entered the game, he got a roaring, you know, a round of applause. And he just came in the game, and he played phenomenal. He had a great game with 23 points, 14 rebounds. Now, he did play against the Detroit Pistons. He was going up against rookie Greg Monroe. So it's by no means a guarantee that Timofey is going to come back Wednesday night versus the Mavs and do score 23 and 14 again. And Kelly Trifuca had a great point in the post-game show. Said he could score 8 points and 6 rebounds in the next game, and that's not a step back. It's still a good game. But there's no doubt that Timofey is making the rotation. There's no doubt about that. And I feel like on this show on Tuesday, remember the infamous Spike Lee, Ron Artest, Landry's dad, Landry Fields show was Wednesday. The show Tuesday, I felt we took calls on Timofey all night about, you know, you watch this guy warm up, you see this 7-foot-1 big dude, you're going to tell me he can't do nothing? There's nothing he can do on the basketball court? Now, I'm not saying Timofey is great. I don't really, none of us really know how good he is. He's only played, you know, just a little bit early in the season. You saw him over the summer in the tournament, and you saw him last night. We don't know what he is, but we know he's 7-foot-1. He's 255, and you can tell he's got some skill. And in the NBA, where the center position is not what he was, maybe he can give the Knicks something down the stretch. But it was a fun night because, I mean, obviously the whole Garden crowd chanting, Mozgov, Moz. I mean, that was pretty cool. And, yeah, you really had to feel good for the big fella. And I know the funniest chant was with about a minute left. Now, this wasn't as big as the Mozgov chant, but when Timofey went to the line, there was like 1,000 people chanting MVP. That was definitely hysterical. So it's good that the Knicks got that win versus the Pistons on Sunday. The schedule's still, you know, pretty tough. Got the Dallas Mavericks coming into the Garden on Wednesday, one of the league's best teams. Haven't been as good since Caron Butler went down, but still a great team with Dirk Nowitzki. Jason Kidd still doing what he does. And Jason Terry in the fourth quarter is one of the best fourth quarter players I've ever seen. I mean, that guy in the fourth quarter is absolutely incredible. So we got a lot to talk about. Alan Hahn from Newsday will be on in about 5 minutes. So here's you keep my opening monologue going, but I'm going to take the calls early, take some calls early. And, yeah, Wilson Chandler should be back Wednesday. Not 100%, but he should be back. And Sean Williams will be back from his one-game suspension from his fight with Marvin Williams. Marvin Williams got 2 games. Sean got 1. So lots more to do, lots more to talk about. But I want to go out to you. I want to go out to the fans, 646-478-5554. And if you have a nickname for Timofey, I'm all for taking them. We did it on Twitter all day. Anthony MSG, follow me. People were hitting me up with different nicknames for Mozgov. So, you know, if you have a good idea for a nickname, I threw out one. I'm not going to lie, it got shut down pretty quick. I threw out T-Bone. But I don't think anybody was really feeling it. T-Bone, I thought it was pretty cool. But I don't think anybody was feeling it. So let's go out to you. Let's go out to the phone, 646-478-5554. And I'm sure we'll get a lot of calls on Timofey. Hey, let's go out to you. You know the drill. I'll say your area code. Tell me your name. Tell me where you're calling from. Let's talk some Knicks. Let's talk some NBA. Carmelo Anthony is in New Jersey right now. And I can't not note about the hiring. Bad job by me. Donnie Walsh bringing in Mark Wattlestein to be a consultant. That's definitely a huge thing. Donnie Walsh and Mark Wattlestein Walkenstein are good friends. Remember right when Donnie Walsh got the job that summer, he traded Ronaldo Balkan for that second-round pick, and that second-round pick turned out to be Landry Fields. So Donnie Walsh and Walkenstein have a good relationship. Walkenstein and Carmelo Anthony have a good relationship. As Carmelo Anthony said yesterday, that's a great hire for the Knicks. So you can put them all together, and we can talk about it. So let's go out to you. Let's go out to the phone, 646-478-5554. And let's start it off with area code 347. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Hey, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm calling from JFK. But, man, Anthony's doing a great job with the show. I mean, your passion for the Knicks, it reminds me of basically like Spike Lee Jr., man. I'm very proud of you. Keep it up, man.
Thank you.
Knicks Nation is a voice, man. You're definitely the voice, you know. Like we're underground, Fight Club, you know.
I mean, listen, let me tell you this right now. This show is beyond. It's above ground. It was underground last year. This show is the L train going up Jerome Avenue.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Underground anymore. It's not the D train no more. The D train's above ground in Brooklyn, so it's the 4 train on Jerome right now, you know?
Yeah, I see. It's definitely picking up. I got most of my coworkers at the airport. They listen now, too. So, again, Andy, you're doing a great job, and continue. Well, the Mark Walkenstein hire, what impact do you think it's going to have on Carmelo?
It's just about official. I mean, does that guarantee Carmelo Anthony? I mean, obviously not. But, you know, listen, it's fun for us to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, because this is, like you said, he has a great relationship with Donnie Walsh.
That first summer, he made that trade with Walkenstein and got, you know, Ronaldo Blankman for the second round pick, which turned out to be Landry Fields.
Blank man. Yeah, but I like Ronaldo while he was here. You know, for the energy he provided, you know, he obviously he wasn't a great shooter or ball handler, but, you know, the Garden did like him. And, I mean, if, say, if he was thrown into the Denver trade, then it's so fortunate to get Carmelo, I wouldn't mind. And his contract is cheap. So, you know, perhaps maybe he could be a throw-in in the trade as well.
Hey, you're cutting out a little bit. Why don't you try back later in the show? I'm losing your connection a tad bit. 646-478-5554. We'll be joined by Alan Hahn from Newsday in a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to area code 202. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Riggedy Rice Balls, what's going on, brother?
What's up?
It's Benji calling, man.
Benji, how are you, man?
I'm good. I am feeling rejuvenated.
I figured you would be. I think every Knicks fan is, and with the big time game from Timofey, how could you not be?
Yeah, he showed a couple skills, a little step back Jay, a little elbow. That's how he looked at. I think there was a preseason game. It might have been against the Nets where he looked really good, and
yep.
That's why everyone expected big things from him because I think it was the game. I think he had 12 points.
Let's be honest, Benji. And listen, actually, why don't you call back after Alan's on the show because I got Alan coming on in a second.
No problem.
And definitely call me back. I'll put you. I usually don't put the same caller on twice, and you know, especially it's tough to get through on the show nowadays. But I'll definitely put you on. Right now on the line, he covers the Knicks for Newsday. He does a great job. And please welcome to the show, Alan Hahn. Alan, what's going on, man?
Talk about tough getting on the show. I've been calling for weeks. I can't get through. Finally.
I'm glad you finally made it.
Appreciate you finally picking up the phone.
Hey, I do my best. It's tough, you know, being a star radio host walking around New York City right now.
I
know
I
have.
Apparently, if I'm not Spike Lee, I can't get through. I think that's how it works.
Exactly. You know, I walk around with a couple bodyguards at the Garden. You know, it's how life is right now. No, I'm just kidding.
I see. The bigger you get, the harder you fall. Remember that.
No, never. No, I don't take myself serious enough to be like that. But no, you've been on quite a bit. But I think first order of business, before we even get to anything serious, I mean, a nickname for Mozgov. I know it was a popular topic in training camp. But then when he's, you know, after the first few games, he wasn't getting minutes. I mean, is there a real legit nickname that could be a front runner right now?
That's a good one. You know, everybody obviously likes the Moz or Mozzilla and stuff like that. I mean, you know, people will call him Drago, which I thought was pretty funny. But I think maybe he's got to have a few more games of 2010s before he earns a nickname.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's all in good fun. And I'll tell you what, I've got a chance to speak with him a few times. I mean, not much conversation, but he seems like a hell of a guy, man. Like, he works hard, great attitude. You definitely round him a lot. I mean, is that the case with Mozgov?
Yeah, well, he likes to have fun. You know, he's not a typical. Like, I covered hockey for 8 years, and I'm, you know, dealt with a lot with Russian players, and you know, there's two types really. If you ask me, there's some who are quite, you know, stoic, not really expressive, but generally dry but funny. Like have a dry humor that once you figure it out, they're pretty funny personalities. And then there's others who are just kind of really outgoing and like to have fun. And I think, you know, Mozgov seems like a guy that likes to have fun. He's really enjoying the experience being in the States. He's making the most of it. He gets very frustrated with himself. That's the thing that I thought really impressed me about him early on, which told me, you know what, this guy's got something in him, because he got mad at himself, and which means he has high standards. He demands a lot out of himself. And then the way he worked, like everybody talked about after the game last night, the way he worked on his own, well, with the coaches, but you know, after practice, before games, just putting in the work, learning all the things he needed to learn, it showed you he's serious about this. And you know, when he got his chance, I mean, you know, he got frustrated a few times. There's one time I think he got the hard foul where he had a chance to dunk it, and I think Villanueva got him with a hard foul. And after the foul, he kind of turned to Stoudemire, and I can see him say, I should have dunked that, meaning he should have just kept going and, you know, finished it instead of letting the foul happen. And that shows you, like, he's not just going to, you know, be wishy-washy about the game. I mean, he's serious about what he wants to be. It's a matter of how consistent can he be. But, you know, his teammates love him, which tells you a lot, and he's a hard worker, so how can you not root for a guy like that?
No, absolutely. And it's funny that he got his opportunity last night, because for some reason I do the show three times a week, And on Tuesday night show, I must have took calls for about an hour on Mozgov. And rarely people bring up Mozgov, but I guess when you lose, you know, you lose six in a row and you win on you win on Monday, it's like, you know, something needs to change. And then he finally gets this opportunity. Let me ask you, in your gut, and no one's going to know this real answer, and it seems that Mozgov will be in the rotation now. If Sean Williams isn't suspended and Wilson Chandler doesn't get hurt, I mean, do you think Mozgov ever sees the court again in real minutes?
Well, here's how I'd written about this a little bit in the last couple of days, going back to last week, and mentioned a few times because, you know, again, when we got back during that road trip out to Texas, you know, again, you're around the team when you travel a little more than usual and you see a lot more. And, you know, that's why the road is so valuable, I think, for us. And, I, you know, just watching him in practice, watching him work with Dan D'Antoni and Herb Williams, and you just kind of, I was getting this feeling like, you know what, he's close. Like, he, you know, he wasn't fumbling with the ball anymore. He wasn't traveling on his post-up practices. You know, he really looked like he was starting to get it. And, you know, he was working on even jump shots where he has really nice touch actually, pretty good release. And I just said to myself, you know what, he's getting there. And then I had a chat with Dan D'Antoni about him, and Dan was saying the same thing, that he said, you know what, just needs a reason to play him. He's got to find an opening, you know, in that rotation, because, you know, we all know how Mike is. He's very, you know, strict with his rotation. He's got his guys. He believes in it. He doesn't want to mess with anything when they're having success. And so when, you know, when you have this where Chandler gets hurt, where Sean Williams is out for a game and the opportunity came up, and I kept saying to myself, when he gets a chance, and he's going to get one, we'll see how he does. And then, of course, how did he do his first couple of, you know, sequences when he got in the game yesterday? He was is brutal, but once he got that one dunk, I think he just felt, you could see it, he just kind of got the juices going, and then he really just kind of ran from there. But you could see it in practice and in the way he's been working out and from talking to people around him that he was getting that confidence back that he had when he came back from when he came over from the World Championships, and he played so well there that I just felt like sooner or later he was going to get a shot. And then they need him. I mean, let's face it, they need his size. They need him to contribute some kind of positive minutes, whether it's, I mean, I don't think he'll give you 20-10 every night, but he's certainly going to give you, he's got to give you something positive for hopefully 15 to 20 minutes a night. And if he does that, then it fills another hole for this team.
No, it definitely does. And so we're going to assume he's in the rotation. Let's just say Wilson comes back on Wednesday and you're going to have Sean back. Who loses minutes, or how do you think that crunches it? How do you think that's going to work out?
Well, I mean, you could open up the rotation to 9, you know, possibly to 10. Bill Walker's been good. How much has he really earned extra minutes? You know, he has games where he's hot and he's knocking down the 3, and then he has games where he's just, you know, he's really not giving you a lot motor-wise. So I think that's, you know, he's always been a guy that can kind of slip in and out depending on your need. So, you know, that's certainly something to think about. But, I mean, yeah, I can definitely see Mike opening it up to a 9-man rotation and, you know, and giving Mozgov the minutes and using Mari more at the 4 and getting him away from some of these bigger, big men. I mean, look, he's going to have to go up against, you got Tyson Chandler, you got Elton Brand coming up in a back-to-back home and home. So you got some big bodies that he's going to have to deal with. And it would help if you had another big body out there between Turiaf and Mozgov, 12 fouls there, you know, and, you know, almost 500 pounds between the two of them. So that, I think, is really the way you'd want to go at this point of the season.
Yeah, and Bill Walker's been that 9th guy, but some games he'll just play like a minute or two, so some games he doesn't play at all. I know we talked about this in the show before, you and I, Alan, about, like, you kind of appreciate sometimes things what fans do. So when you're sitting there courtside last night and you're actually chanting, Mozgov, like, was that kind of cool for you, too? Like, get a little bit of chills? Like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, what was cool was that Berman started the chant. I mean, that for me, that was the thing that was really cool. Like, he just started pounding the table. It was almost like, you remember the movie Meatballs, where they started doing spaz? You know, I mean, it was sort of like that, you know. And, but, you know, Berman always likes to take credit for starting chants, or at least hearing them. When, you know, when Marbury used to play, he would hear one person yell, you know, we want Marbury. And he would write that the crowd was chanting, we want Marbury.
Opening night 2008.
And usually it was Mark that was yelling it. No, I'm only kidding. No, it's, you know what, it's great. The crowd's been awesome, but it always is awesome at the Garden. And you know, they have their cult heroes, and you just knew that Mozgov was going to be the cult hero of this team. Just, look, I mean, he's a big Russian. You know, he's got the accent. He keeps, you know, the whole Rocky thing. And, you know, and he dunks the crap out of the ball. So I think, you know, it's really easy to to like a guy like that and kind of root for him. And you know, it was just good to see that there was positive reaction for him, because I think he needs that for his confidence, because he is pretty sensitive. That's one thing we've learned about him. He's definitely sensitive. When things go bad for him, his emotions go south. And so I think he needs that kind of encouragement.
Now, what about Anthony Randolph? He played a few minutes last night. I actually thought he played okay. He got that block shot, block or two, had 4 or 5 rebounds. And what's going on with Anthony Randolph? It seems that he'll probably just be back on the bench come Wednesday, assuming that Will the Thrill is back.
Right, yeah. No, I think you're right about that. I don't think he's going to, Timo definitely earned the minutes, but I don't think that Randolph's going to find his way into the rotation now. You know, he didn't play much in the second half. But like you said, I thought he came in and did a good job, did what he should do, which is don't force anything, which he didn't. He didn't force any shots. He gave up the ball. He was smart. He went after the rebounds, which is his job. Got 5 boards in 8 minutes, which is pretty good. And, and got a blocked shot. A little shaky on defensive rotations, back to the ball too many times, and kind of lost his man, but he lost the ball. Like I said, defensively, I think the Knicks struggled when he was out there, not just his fault, but obviously, again, you know, with rotations, with awareness, there's a lot of times where things break down, and you saw him on the defensive end. He wasn't quite comfortable, but that's going to happen when you haven't played in a long time. He's a project, especially on the offensive end, and I think right now, once you get Chandler back and Sean Williams back, I don't think, you're going to take those guys' minutes away play Anthony Randolph at this point. But again, he came in, he didn't force anything, he was under control, did what he should do, and that's a positive for him, another step in the right direction.
Talk about Alan Hahn right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Alan, are people worried about Amari's knee or knees, I should say?
Everything. His shoulders, his knees, his ankle even had ice on it too. He's banged
his
up.
His swag
him,
is still the same though, right?
Oh, nobody's got swagger like that guy.
What about Kanye West?
Yeah, but I think better. I'll tell you what, because he's also a legitimate tough guy. He's a legitimate tough guy. You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
I mean, there's certain guys. See, swagger has some toughness to it, and I think Amari can back that up. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got legitimate toughness to him, and you like that. I just think he's exactly what this franchise needed. You know what I mean? That's how I think. I just think he's exactly what they needed, because you didn't need another phony coming in here, talking a big game, and then really not, backing it up. And I think, look, the guy played hurt, a little bit of Ewing last night, I think. He played hurt, a little bit of Warrior. Third quarter, when the game was sort of teetering, he really turned it on and started going hard to the hole after sort of a soft first half. And then he was there, for the big baskets and the important ones down the stretch, and made sure that he had an impact on the game. I mean, think about it. The guy had two hobbled knees there in the second half, and he finished with 33 points. That's a leader. That's a guy who's a warrior. And, if they can just, they got to get him through this part of the season. And I think February with, there's only a few games. There's a lot of space between the games, a lot of rest opportunities in February. And I think that's going to be important for him to recharge the battery and be ready for the stretch run there in March, and obviously be ready for a playoff run in April.
Now, obviously, it's not going to happen anytime soon, Alan. And by the way, I loved your comment on the blog. I forgot the exact word you said. Kanye walked into the room swagger on. Was it swagger on 1,000? Is that what you said?
Yeah, well, that was a lyric. It's from the Swagger Like Us song that he did with T.I., I think.
Jay-Z, T.I.
Yeah, all those guys. Yeah, he said that swagger on 100,000 trillion is the line. So I'm always ripping off other people's lyrics because I can't write for myself.
No, I feel you. I was actually sitting by Kanye at the game, and he was definitely he's definitely chilling. But if it seems to me as of right now, anything could change. The Knicks, they won 13 of 14 in November and December, so why not do it again? But if it seems, let's just throw out March 1st, that, regardless of trade or no trade, that the Knicks are going to be in that 6th seed and maybe go up to 5, would the Knicks consider maybe resting Amari, maybe on back-to-backs, doing kind of things like Greg Popovich does with the Spurs, with Timmy and Manu and those guys?
I think you only do that if you know you can't get to 5. I think 5 looks like it's starting to get out of reach right now for them, but they can still go on a run. Like you said, they did it in December. Why not do it again? February's light, and March schedule is, pretty favorable. There's a lot of games, but there's favorable opponents. So you you could say to yourself, maybe they have a shot at that fifth seed. But if you don't, you know, and you're getting late in March, you know, yeah, maybe then you start kind of resting guys a little bit, just trying to, you know, secure that fifth spot. But, you know, I think that's something to worry about down the road, because to me, nothing's guaranteed. You got to lock this thing up, you know, and I think that's the most important thing. Get all the wins you can now, and then you can think about catching your breath late in the year, you know, while everybody else is killing each other to, you know, to get in or to get a seed. So, you know, you got to worry about who you're going to play. You know, there's a lot of things to think about. You know, if six really is where you want to be, because let's say Chicago finishes third, you know, maybe you'd rather do that and avoid, you know, playing Miami or Orlando or whomever. So there's a lot to think about. But, you know, Mike never seems to be the type that wants to do stuff like that. But I agree with you. If you don't get Carmelo and you have basically what you have right now, maybe a minor addition or two, because I do think they'll do something at the deadline. If they don't do something major, it'll be something like probably back a point guard or whatever. I think that, you know, you can't afford to have Amari, you know, tired going into the playoffs. You need to have him fresh because, you know, that's your chance. That's obviously your chance at winning something.
What's been the main difference of Gallo besides he's been awesome the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, what have you noticed difference in Gallo's game the last 2 weeks besides the fact he just played a lot better? Anything you've noticed that, like, wow, he's doing that? Or did he have swagger maybe?
Yeah, well, no, he always has swagger. He's got that Italian swagger. But he
does have swagger, no doubt about that.
But what I've noticed about him is, and it's something I actually wrote in the blog last night or early this morning, whatever time it was that I posted it, he told me that they've done some things. He's been in the weight room all season long. And, you know, he's a guy that, if you notice early in the year, he had no legs. He just didn't have any lift. He didn't have any legs. And it was because he really was spending a lot of time still working on his lower body strength, which we all know was a big part of his game that he needed to improve. And, you know, I think he said that he put in a lot of work with Greg Brittenham, and they also have shortened up his stride. You know, when he would drive, he would take these long steps. And if you've ever done that, it's hard to explode off a long step. And so they were trying to shorten up his steps so he can get a little more power out of his jump. I mean, you know, he now, when he drives to the basket, when he used to have trouble getting to the rim, now he's dunking on people. I mean, Greg Monroe just got one last night. So I think that's a big difference in my mind. And with that, he has more confidence in himself to drive to the basket instead of just, you know, settling for the jumper. So he's taken a lot less threes this year than he did last year. I mean, a lot less. And he's going to the basket more. He's getting fouled. He's going to the foul line a lot. He's obviously a great free throw shooter. And I think that's the biggest difference. And since, you know, coming back from the sprained knee and whatever it is, maybe that, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, even though the knee was kind of messed up, I mean, I told him maybe it's something in the brace that they're not telling us about. But he said no. You know, he wouldn't admit that there's like some kind of mechanism in the brace that's making him jump higher. But for sure, he's got confidence going to the basket now, and I think that's the biggest thing with him. And if he can keep doing that, I mean, he's been over 20 now in 3 of the last 5 games. And it's important for him to be able to fill it up because, again, if nothing happens with Carmelo, you know, they're going to really rely heavily on Danilo as the second scorer. And in the second half of the season, he's going to have to prove he can carry that load.
No, absolutely. And he's been great the last, like you said, 3 of the last 5 games. How about Wilson Chandler? I mean, he was playing, I mean, ever since the Spurs game, he hasn't been great. I definitely think the trade talks are bothering him. And also, like, do you think it affects him? You're around him a lot. Like, for example, like the Spurs game, you had 32 against them last week. Now you're not starting. I know he's perfect for that stuff because he'll never complain. You know, the trade talk, you know, get in and out of the rotation. What have you noticed with Will, with him playing bad the last few weeks? You've noticed with Gallo playing good.
No, I think it's really almost the same thing that I mentioned with Gallinari, just the opposite. I think with him, I think it's physical more than anything else. And when you're not feeling, you know, you remember when he's got it, when he's feeling strong, which in December when he was on that, you know, he was tremendous in December. And I think he averaged 19 a game in the month of December and just had some huge games for the Knicks. He was as physically, and I remember talking to him in December about it, he felt as good as he'd had physically in a long time. And that's a lot for a 23-year-old to say. But he's been banged up. You know, he came into the last 2 seasons off surgeries and, you know, never really 100%. So he was finally feeling good physically. And then the calf started bothering him, and it's, you know, little by little, it's just gotten worse and worse. And I think when you have that kind of an issue where you don't have your explosiveness, you don't feel confident, it's affecting you on your balance when you shoot. you know, it just takes away. Again, it just takes away from your game, and you lose your confidence, and your shot's not falling because of it, and so now you don't want to shoot the ball anymore, so now your effectiveness is gone. It snowballs. So guys like that, you have to just get them healthy. You can't make them play through stuff like that because they're not effective. And I think really that's what it's about. Sure, the rumors are out there, and you know, he sees that stuff. It does bother him. But, again, when you get into a game, and if you've ever been an athlete who played, you don't think about anything when you're playing. You're just thinking about winning. You're thinking about doing your job and beating the other team. Only time that stuff comes to mind is maybe during stoppages every now and then. But for the most part, when you're playing, you're just playing. You're in game mode. So I don't think that stuff really affects him in-game as much as people think. I really do think it is physical with him. That calf does affect so much because it affects your jumper. He's a guy that has to get high extension on his jumper. He's not a standstill jumper, so that hurts him there. And if he's not knocking those shots down, it does affect him emotionally and mentally. And then I think then the rest of his game just falls apart. Once he gets healthy again, I think he'll be fine.
And as of right now, because it's not playoff time yet, the Knicks aren't going to rush him back either. So if he needs another, say, Wednesday and Friday off, they'll give him those games off, correct?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think Mike said it best last night. Why risk one game and it could cost you 2 weeks? You know, let's make sure it's 100% good, that he's ready to go. It's not going to, you know, tighten up on him again or lead to something worse. Just get it right. And then, you know, so you have him for the long term, because you can't afford to lose guys like that for, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks. It really does affect you.
No, absolutely. And obviously we got to get to the trade stuff. We can't not. So the Knicks, seems that Mark, I keep mispronouncing it, Walkenstein? How do you say his name?
No, Workington.
Workington. I don't know why I keep saying it. Okay, Mark Workington was hired by Donnie Walsh. I mean,
how much
does that mean?
Yet. They haven't hired anybody yet. That's the report is that they're close to a deal. You know, from what I've heard and other New York papers have heard, that there's nothing done, that it's, you know, that there's nothing in stone, that it's one of those things that's a possibility. It's out there, but nothing done. But it, you know, what it means is what it looks like. And here's a guy that was the GM of the Denver Nuggets for a long time, you know, for a couple of years. And he obviously has a relationship with Carmelo as much as he has a relationship with the Nuggets themselves. So, you know, does that mean that he's the guy that'll broker this thing? Possibly. But, even before the Carmelo stuff, I know that Donnie has always had an interest in working with him because he's a bright guy. And, you know, you always want to have good people on your staff, and he's available because he doesn't have a job. So, you know, whether it's, it certainly looks like it's pretty convenient that at this time, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the trade deadline, you bring in a guy that, you know, could be, you know, your connection, you know, your strongest ally. But to me, I wouldn't hire him because he should be the guy you can use back channel, that it wouldn't be tampering if he talks to somebody for you. You know what I mean? So the fact that they would want to hire him kind of suggests that maybe they feel like they're, you know, further ahead in the game than they think, or than anybody else.
Definitely. And what's your predictions for now? Predictions. Oh, man. Like, what do you think is going to happen? You got a few more weeks to the trade deadline. Do you see a trade happening? Do you see New Jersey getting back involved? Do you see Dallas getting involved? Like, any ideas? What do you think is going to happen with Carmelo?
Well, I've been saying this since August. And, you know, you can check the archives if you think I'm lying.
I trust you.
Is February 24th is the deadline, and the Nuggets have no reason to trade him any earlier than that. And I do believe that that's what it'll get to. It'll get us pretty close to that. I'm not saying it's going to be on the 24th, but I do have a very strong feeling that it's going to be probably, you know, those days after All-Star, before the 24th. You know, it's only 4 days basically in between All-Star game and the trade deadline. So to me, I think that's really when things will heat up. And, you know, look, the whole league knows that the Knicks are the team that he wants to go to. Does that mean that's where he's going to end up? I'm not saying that 100% sure, but I mean, it does look pretty clear that if both sides want this, it should happen, but then, you know, both sides still have to want it. And I'm not 100% positive that that's what the Nuggets want to do. We'll just have to wait and find out.
Is Raymond Felton untouchable?
I don't think anybody is. I think the only guy that you would not see involved in this trade would be Amari Stoudemire. I think it all depends on what gets it done and what you get in return. Donnie, I'll say this. Donnie Walsh, I guarantee you, will not overpay. will not overpay in his mind. He will not overpay. So, you know, to me, if you're giving up a player like that with a contract like that, you know, you're going to have to get something pretty significant back. And I just don't see that happening. So to me, you know, would you get Felton and then you get back Billups and it's sort of like the same deal. I don't know how deep that Donnie would want to go into something like that. I don't think they want to shake the roster up that much. I think they, and I'm just guessing here, but if I was Donnie, I would want to do this trade with the least amount of change as possible. You know, the Nets had, you know, 30 players involved and all kinds of teams and permutations and everything. And I think they were exchanging foreign money and everything else. It just seemed like they were trading property. They were trading real estate. I think if you're the Knicks, you know, let's make this as clean as possible. I might have to give up two rotation players and maybe two other players that aren't in my rotation, obviously some draft picks and anything else. But I don't want to give up, you know, let's say, I don't want to give up three of my five starters. That's for damn sure. So, you know, now if you're talking about Felton and everything else, it's getting a little too crazy for me. So I think in the end, again, knowing that Denver will be up against the clock, because if Melo did tell them, I'm only going to New York, then you know you have that confidence to say, look, this is all we're going to do, and you let us know when you want to do it. That's how I think it should go.
One player that's a huge topic of not trading, I think every fan knows if there would be a trade, you'd probably lose Gallo or you'd probably lose Wilson, for example. But the one guy on this show and the Twitter, I'm sure you get the tweets about it and everything, is Landry Fields. A lot of fans said, you know, if Denver wants Landry, I'm not doing it. I'm willing to give up, you know, Gallo or Chandler. Definitely not both, but one of the two. But a lot of fans have said, I'm not giving up Landry Fields. Your thoughts on that? Number one, Spike Lee. He said it on this show. He's like, I am not giving up Landry Fields. You know.
Well, let me let Spike and the rest of your listeners relax, because when I wrote this, I think last week, from what I understand, from somebody that I talked to that, you know, is pretty, you know, pretty involved in everything, and actually, you know, it's a pretty good idea of what Denver's thinking or what their plans are. They are really not interested in Landry Fields.
Oh,
and,
cool. Okay.
And the reason is they have Aaron Aflalo, who they really like, and they could have drafted Landry Fields if they wanted him to begin with. So they don't put him in the high regard that the Knicks hold Landry in, and obviously Knicks fans do. They don't feel the same way. So he's not a deal breaker. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, that's so fans can relax on Landry. Now, of course, doesn't mean that he might not be involved in the deal, but as far as I know, he's not the deal breaker. He's not somebody that, you know, must be part of this. So I think, you know, you can rest easy on that one. I'm pretty confident he'll still be a Nick after the deadline.
Yeah, no, I hope so. I mean, Landry's a great kid, but, you know, it is one of those things. It's tough to, you know, I'm sure a lot of teams in sports have given up a young player that you thought would be there. You know, I always thought Garnett.
You know what, though, Anthony, think about it this way, though. You know, and I like, trust me, I mean, I like the guy. I think he's a really nice fit because of he's so versatile. He's a smart player. You know he's going to get better. You never have to worry about him. But let's just look at it from devil's advocate. He's house money, okay? He's house money. He's a second-round pick that you didn't have any idea whether he'd even make the team.
Of course,
okay?
Yeah, definitely.
So you know, just this whole idea that, oh, well, we're not giving him up. So you're not giving up a second-round pick that you didn't even know about, and that when the team picked him in June, you were booing and saying, how could you not, you know, Devin Ebanks is still available. How could you not draft him, right? People are going crazy about that. Who's Landry Fields? This is crazy. Now, all of a sudden, you're not trading him for Carmelo Anthony? I mean, come on now.
Fans are funny like that.
Like, you got to understand. This guy's house money. And if that's going to stop you, and I already told you that's not going to be a deal breaker, but I'm just saying this. You're telling me that that's the deal breaker for you? For Carmelo Anthony, one of the best players in the league? Please, come on. Like, people have to come back to reality on something like that.
No, I agree. One thing I've learned as a fan is that you can't get, and a lot of fans do, though, like you get married to players. And listen, I got over, I was so upset when I was 15 when they traded John Starks. But listen, if they kept Starks that year, they don't go to the finals, you know, bottom line.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And that you get emotional with a player. Like, that's a little bit different because at least with John Starks, you know, you went somewhere with him. I mean, you know, you wrote out some emotional years with him and you had some memories with him. I mean, this is, this is a little different. You know, this is, you know, I'm trying to equate it, and I really can't because obviously the Knicks haven't really had a player like Landry Fields come along in a long time. But, you know, if you can move a guy, you know, for a superstar, you know, again, I like the guy. I'm not trying to get him traded. But I even think if you put Landry on the phone right now and you said to him, Landry, you're a GM. Do you not trade yourself for Carmelo Anthony? I mean, even he'd say, well, I think you have to, right? So,
well, actually,
you know,
he's on the line now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, Alan, thank you for coming on. And like I said, you were the first guest after the infamous show Wednesday, so I give you credit because a lot of people are like, what are you going to do? I don't think I can, like I told you on the phone, I don't think I can ever recreate Wednesday night. And it was so much fun. I know you said you heard it. It was absurd.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff. It was a little bizarre, but it was good stuff. And I was trying to come up with something. I was reaching out to Chuck D. I was going to email him and see if he would call in, and then he can come on and because he's a huge Knicks fan, you know.
Yeah, I've never seen him in a game. I've seen Q-tip a lot.
He's always on tour. He's always on tour.
He's still on tour. That's crazy.
He's never in the States. He's always touring. He's a huge fan though, big time Knicks fan. He follows a lot of the stuff basically through the internet, and every now and then I've kept in touch with him. But if you can ever get him on, you want to talk about a guy that's passionate about the Knicks. He is passionate about the Knicks. I mean, he loves.
Do they tour as Public Enemy, or is he Chuck D as he tours?
No. Public Enemy. Come on. I mean,
that's crazy. They haven't released a new album since what? 98 was their last new album. He got Game soundtrack. Was that the last new music?
They just put something out recently on the internet.
Really?
You know, I know you're 15 years old, but I mean, Public Enemy was like a big time. You know, they were big time in the 90s when I was coming up. So.
Yeah, when I first got into hip-hop, it was about my first hip-hop that I got into, I was 10 years old. It was 1994.
Who was it?
Regulate. Warren G and Nate Dogg was the first
Warren
hip-hop
G
song
and Nate,
I fell in love.
Oh, my goodness. So you were just coming in when the whole West Coast thing was really getting big. That's amazing.
Exactly. Yep, absolutely.
That
Warren
is amazing.
G and Nate Dogg. Then I got into Nas, you know, Jay-Z. And then when I was I got to 8th grade, and it was right before Tupac got killed, and I was very anti-West Coast. Like, I wouldn't listen to anything West Coast because I was down with the East Coast, and I was
unbelievable. I was anti bad music. I didn't care where you were from. If it was good, I listened to it. That's how I was. I never understood all the West Coast East Coast stuff. I mean, if it was good, I listened to it. If it was bad, I turned it off and I threw it out the window. Public Enemy's still on tour. They do a lot of stuff overseas now, but online, I mean, Chuck D turned 50, which makes me feel old. And they put they just put out a single a couple of months ago, Say It Like It Really Is, which, you know, again, it's classic PE. I mean, when you listen to it, it just makes you want to just run through a wall. I love it. And if you could ever get in touch with him, man, he is a passionate Knicks fan.
Well, you know what? I always like a challenge. Like, I'm all about challenges. And I'm going to get Chuck D on the show. I don't know how I'll do it. I'll do it. I have no doubt about it. I've never met him, never talked to him, but give me a month or two, and I'm sure I can figure it out. Somewhere I'll see you doing a show somewhere, and I'll hide behind a garbage can or something. You know, get his
whatever
number
it is.
And,
you know what? If you can get Spike Lee and Ron Artest, like if you get Spike Lee to come on to talk to Landry Fields and then hand the phone to Ron Artest, which I don't even know how that happened. But if you can pull that off, I think you can pull this one off.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I mean, the crazy thing was that Spike was, like I said, Spike was running 10 minutes late. I knew about it. Spike and I planned it the day before. And Landry was giving shorter answers than Wilson. And I've had Wilson on many times, so I was just trying to keep Landry going. And then I'm like, you want to take calls? And then right there, Landry told me the next day, he knew something was up, so he said, all right, I'll take the calls. And then finally, producer Johnny got Spike on the line in California, and Spike came on and took over my show and the rest of it. And then Landry Fields' father calls in after that, and it was just wild.
Tremendous. Yeah, it's tremendous. Well, that's good.
Well,
I guess you don't have a surprise call in for me, so,
No, I don't. I don't think
now.
I'm going to have a – No, I'm very sorry. I don't think I'm going to have a surprise for a while. I was thinking of surprises for you, but I'm not sure. Do you have, like, a celebrity fan? Like, you know, like for example, Spike Lee loves Landry. Is there, like, a celebrity Knick fan that loves your work? I mean, I'm sure there is, but that you know of.
No. Come on, man. I'm a beat writer. I mean, really. Are you trying to mock
you're,
me now?
But you're
I have
pretty
a celebrity
popular, though.
Fan? Are you kidding me?
You might, like, Woody Allen or something?
Nah. There's nothing there. It really, I got my mom who reads my stuff. Maybe every now and then I'll get my wife to read it. Other than that, nobody reads what I write. So it's kind of depressing.
I think you'd be surprised. I think I found like talking to people like read everything like you. The beat writers, people read the stuff. I think you'd be surprised.
No, they don't. Nobody reads anything. It's a shame. Nobody wants to read anymore. They just want to listen to you guys talk. That's what it is now. So it's all right though. All right. You guys,
I think
that's
you'd be
why
surprised.
Spike Lee comes on your show. I can't get Spike Lee to stop and talk to me for 2 minutes, but he's on your show. So
I saw one of the writers actually. I think I was down in D.C. I think I saw one of the writers like running after Spike. It was pretty funny. my friend's like, why is that guy running after Spike Lee? I was like, I don't know.
that's good. You know what? It's all good and fun. You know what you could do for me? Whenever you want, you can get Jessica Simpson on the phone. If you can pull that one off, then you're the man.
Jessica Simpson or Chuck D. I mean, I'll try. Like I said, I've been known
good
to pull off. And I had a knack for this stuff for getting guests when I was an intern at ESPN. And it's a joke. And you asked Brandon about it. It's a running joke that I got Trevor Ariza traded 6 years ago. This is a big time joke. I was interning and I got like Trevor on a show, and it was just like, it was funny. Like, how did an intern get a guest on a radio show? You know what I mean? And ever since then, I just had like a knack for just like doing whatever I could to get interviews and get guys on. And I've only been turned down once. Like a guy actually, I was talking to Damon Jones one time, and he actually said, "Do you know who I am?" I was like, "Yeah, I just want to. I mean, you seem like you'd be a good guest." And he was like, "Nah, man." I was pretty surprised. I thought he'd be pretty cool. But other than that, no, I've always had a little knack to go out of the ordinary. And I'll try to get Jessica. I'll try to get Chuck D. And I'm going to try to find a celebrity fan that reads the Knicks picks. That's my goal, actually, because I know they do.
There's got to be a legitimate celebrity now. I mean, it can't be like the guy that does, the Geico commercial locally, on one of the Long Island radio stations. Like, that doesn't work. It's got to be like a real celebrity. Like, people have heard of him.
No, would Spike Lee count? I'm not saying like, but like that level, right? Maybe.
Yeah, but he would count, but he doesn't read what I write, so we can move on from that already.
See, that's where I think you're wrong.
You realize that at the Garden, I bring clips of my stories and hand them out to people. You don't even realize that, do you? Like, if it wasn't for that, I don't think anybody'd know who I was.
No,
because
that's how
I
met Spike.
I proved that I cover the team.
That's how I met Spike, is that he recognized my face because he had been listening to my show. So that means he's going to all the websites. So that means he probably goes to Newsday.com and reads the Knicks picks as well.
That would be something. I find that hard to believe, though. Because I've quoted his movies maybe a million times in my blogs. Never once has he corrected me. Because I'm sure I get him wrong. But, that's the other problem.
Maybe he's
I have
used to it, so he's like, well, listen, I got to find somebody. And I'm going to, like I said, Jessica Simpson, Chuck D, a celebrity fan of Alan Hahn. I'm sure it exists, and I'm going to do my best to find it.
You get on that. I'm sure you have better things to do with your life, though, okay?
do players – I know I've always wanted to know, actually, from a writer. Do players ever approach you and say, I like what you wrote, I don't like what you wrote? Does that ever happen, even in your hockey days?
The I like what you wrote is something I've never heard in my career from a player, that's for sure. The complaining part, it's very rare. David Lee used to, every now and then, David was great for saying, I never read anything, but a friend of mine told me, which is always funny. But David was good because he would argue, he'd debate with you about stuff that maybe you wrote that he might disagree with. And it usually was a good debate. It wasn't like he was getting all, he wasn't bristling at any criticism. It was more or less like he would try to challenge you on something and try to see, where you're getting your, well, what do you think about this? Try to give you another way to look at it. It was a good debate.
Other than that,
obviously Stefan had his moments too, because he paid attention to a lot of things said about him, but it really doesn't happen much, at least not for me. But again, you know, I'm at the nice suburban paper out on the island, so, you know, don't really get rid of that much.
Because I've always wondered if, like, the players actually, like, pick up a newspaper, turn on the radio, or, you know, turn on the internet show and listen to what's going on. Like, Landry told me he's actually listened to my show a few times. I mean, he actually said he was honest. He said he listened to it a couple times, like, with callers and stuff. So, like, I've always wondered if these guys listen. Like, I asked, like, Wilson, he said he doesn't at all. Like, he's not into it at all. Like, I sent him a good article about him, and he wasn't even concerned with it. He's like, that's not me.
Yeah. No, I still have to remind him that I cover the team. It's like every now and then he just, like, I come with my notebook and he takes the pen and he signs an autograph in the notebook. I'm like, no, I got to ask you a question. So that's how that works. But you know, I'm surprised that Landry listens to things, because you would hope that he would have a lot better things to do with his time than listen to people talk about the team, right? I mean,
it's pretty entertaining. I get into some other stuff. I get into some music stuff, and I have fun. I figure it out.
Oh, I see. All right. All right, so you do more things than just talk about basketball on your show.
Yeah, I mean basketball is the main topic, but I definitely incorporate some music, some just regular talk, because, you know, I'm a young, fresh individual, so I got lots of stuff to talk about.
Oh, you say? Wow.
Yeah, I think so.
You're a young, fresh individual. I like that.
I definitely am. There's no doubt about it. I mean, like if you're at the Garden with me, like, you want to be next to me. That's just the bottom line. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, we got to work on your confidence, all right?
It's funny. Someone texted me tonight right before my show and said, "Hey, you actually need more confidence about your stuff." So maybe that's why I'm like just messing around tonight.
That's fine. Let it roll. That's all.
Let it roll. I was. What's Amari's quote? Swagger. Swagger something. It's swagger. He has a quote.
Immortal swagger.
Immortal swag. That's it. Immortal swag.
I believe if it's immortal swag, isn't that like free stuff?
I think, yeah, it sounds like it.
Man, I don't know. I can't figure this stuff. I try to just keep up with it, but each year I get older and I just start losing touch with it. So
yeah, but
I'll fake it till it's over.
Well, listen, like I said, before I let you go, I think that you are one of the hip, you know, probably one of the hipper media guys, without a doubt. I mean, I put you up there. Like, Stephen A., he's cool. I think you're up there. You know, Frank can be. You know, he has his moments, you know. But you guys are cool. I think you guys are cool. Like, you know, want to drink a beer type guys. Like, you guys are cool guys, you know.
Oh, yeah. You definitely want that. Just make sure you're paying for the beer.
Well, that's why I go to Aces and Eights on 87th and First. $10 Friday and Saturday nights, all the beer you want. So we can go there.
I'm in. That's all I need to hear. I'm there.
They give you a cup at the door and a wristband. It's a good place to go over the summer. You stay until midnight and you go somewhere else after. You know, and you spent $10.
Right. That sounds good. Just give me a note to bring home to my wife. That's all. I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about how she'll feel about that.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
Well, Alan, I appreciate you coming on. It was definitely a lot of fun rapping with you, and have a good night, and I will see you at the Garden on Wednesday versus the Mavs.
All right, man. You take care, bud.
Take care.
Later on.
That was Alan Hahn of Newsday right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio, one of the fresher members of the media. Maybe one day we'll rank the top five. Now, here's the question, can I be on the list? So I'm going to see myself off the list, and we're going to rank the top five freshest members of the – do we keep it to New York media? No, New York media. We could throw Stephen A. in there because he's a New Yorker, okay? Excuse me. So we can do the top five. We can do the Twitter and Facebook over the next, you know, the top five freshest media members. Now, you know, let's see who get in there. I have an idea who would want to win. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. So good stuff from Alan Hahn. Always good stuff. So got another hour to do. I'll take your calls at 646-478-5554. I know a lot of fans want to get in on the topic. Talk some Knicks, talk some NBA, talk some Raptors, Pacers. No, I'm just kidding. Jim O'Brien fired by the Pacers. And boy, oh boy, Larry Bird has been there for a while, man. And he really hasn't gotten many results. And I don't know, I haven't talked to many Pacers fans out in Indiana lately, but you wonder if, you know, the Pacers fans are like, I've had enough of this guy. Or because he's the hometown legend, he gets a free pass. I can get a guy from the Pacers on, not a player, but a Pacers writer on in the next couple of weeks. I'd like to talk about that situation. So let's take some calls. We've got about an hour left, so pick up your phone, dial 646-478-5554, and let's go. So let's go out to you. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to area code 347. You're on the air, the KnicksBlog.com, the KnicksBlog Radio, 347-446.
What's going on, Anthony Stefano from Wanto?
Stefano, what's up, man?
Not much. All right, two things I wanted to ask you. See how you feel
sure.
about this. And I'm not saying this is we won one big game. You know, we had a good game last night. But, and it's another, I'm not knocking Wilson. This is, I think Wilson's great. But so before I, you know, get anybody says that. But when he comes back, is it almost smarter, only because he's so versatile, and if you look at his depth of the team, isn't it almost smarter to put Wilson at the sixth man again? And I know he's a starter. I know he's great, but he can do so much 2-3, you know, 2-3 and 4. It almost makes sense. You know, let Roney start. You know, let him.
I think you go. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Why you probably don't. I mean, how much do you want to mess with this guy? Like, at the end of the day, he would accept it because he's one
right.
of the. He's a great teammate. Great teammate.
Right.
He will accept it, and he will not complain. He won't bitch. But how many times
right.
are you going to mess with the guy's flow? Guys like to start. He's been starting. And then you take it away,
well,
and you know for damn sure you have him starting again. So I just think their best record is, for the most part, where Wilson started. Keep it the way it's been. You know what I mean? Even if you add Mozgov, you know, bring him off the bench. Keep it the way it's been. You know, when the Knicks won, you know, what was it, you know, 13-14, Wilson was starting most of those games. I think the first four he wasn't. But, you know, keep it the way it is. At the end of the day, it's all about who finishes the game. And it's not a bad idea because, you know, he is, you know, extremely versatile. And I like the fact that you admit that he is. He can play any position. You ask him to play center, he won't say a word. I mean, as he said on my show one time, I said to him one time, I said, Will, you play the 2, the 3, the 4, you come up the bench, you start, you do whatever they say, you know, and you've never complained. And he just goes, you know, and you know Will, you don't say much. He goes, Well,
yeah.
I get paid a lot of money. I mean, is that's seriously, that's one of the best. That's because athletes don't always give the greatest answers. Even though the
yeah.
answer is the truth, I thought that was one of the best answers I've ever heard in an interview.
He's definitely the humblest,
said, like,
probably NBA player out there. But, you know, I mean, only reason I say it, number one, is Turioff's record as a starter with the Knicks. And I know it isn't really, you know, maybe it's just coincidence. But when Turioff starts, the record's great. And it gives you the opportunity. We have to protect Amari as much as possible. Now, you're going to save a little bit wear and tear if you get to play him at 4, which is his more natural position. I think you're going to get better production out of him. But the most important thing is that you're going to save Amari a little bit. Instead of banging with 5s, he's going to bang with 4s, which is a little easier. And you're going to save him. This guy is already getting, you know, I'm not saying he's injury prone, but he's, you know, he's getting banged up and he's playing a lot of 5. That's why if you make Wilson your sixth man, if there's problems with Turia foul trouble, you bring in Mozgov. If there's a problem with Stoudemire, you bring in him. If you have a problem with Landry Fields or Gallo, that's why if Wilson – the Knicks are a better team with Wilson Chandler as a sixth man. My opinion only. I could be wrong, but I'll say this.
You could go either way. Wilson will accept either way. He's not going to say a word about it. I think either way is fine. I agree with it. But I just think he's earned. I think, you know, people in sports like to start, and I truly believe he's earned the right to be a starter. I mean, but at the same time, if coach says to him, listen, I think you're going to come off the bench because you could spell Landry at the 2, you could spell Gallo at the 3. But I think he's earned – but at the same time, he could do that start. He could start at the 4. Gallo goes out first, and Will goes to the 3. Gallo comes back in the 3. Will goes to the 4. You know, so, I mean, I agree with both. I think he'll keep Wilson as a starter because you don't want to mess with the guy's head either. You know what I mean? He is human. And, you know, you want to – I think it's – you know, when you're driving in the game, you're blasting when, you know – whenever he's listening to the car, you want to know your role. You want to make sure you know you're starting. And for Wilson, it has just, you know, whole Knick career. 1 year is a 3. Next year is a 2 guard. Next year is a power forward. Next year, next game, he's a center. So, you know, and credit to him for that. You know what I mean? He's never complained about it.
And the other thing, you know, because I like how fans, you know, they killed D'Antoni for, you know, lack of defense. But people don't understand, number one, that the points that are scored is not, you know, just because it says we let up 105 points, that's not really how our defense is playing. It's just that there's so many extra possessions in this offense that there's going to be always extra points scored by the other team. The defense on this team, you know, and people kill Dan D'Antoni because I guess he's really the defensive coordinator, but the defense on this team is actually pretty good. If you guys have been watching the last probably 10 or 15 games, you know, even if they're giving up 110 points, it's really not. I mean, yes, they're giving up 110 points, but it's because there's so many, you know, there's so many possessions that go into
the
game.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's definitely true.
You know?
And one thing, real quick, I do agree on the 07 Suns. I do agree on that. And you know, another thing, and one thing I wanted to make amends with you, real quick, and because not amends, I was thinking about this. I think I was like lying in bed the other day at the hospital with my sister, and I just thought of this topic, and I thought of the Gallo-Wilson. I want to get something out there real quick. Because I think sometimes I think that I like Gallo a lot. I almost like him as much as Will as a basketball player. I think what happened was early in the year when it created this like tension of rivalry between Wilson and Gallo, here's how it started, and this is my opinion, and looking back, I think I'm right. What happened was, you will admit this, Stefano, if Gallo scores, say, 20 one night and Wilson scores 40, Gallo's going to get hyped up more. Just reality. Whether it's personality, looks, it's just reality.
Maybe.
So I got so hyped and wanted to get Wilson that credit. I'm like, we got to give credit to Will. It almost looked like I was going against Gallo. Then I was thinking back to it. I was like, I love Gallo. But I just want – but Gallo's going to get the credit. When he plays good, he'll get the credit. And sometimes Will doesn't. So I just wanted to get out there, like, come on, let's start giving Will credit too. And I think sometimes it came across like, oh, Ant don't like Gallo. No, of course Ant likes Gallo. I just wanted to make sure my man Will was getting credit. And looking back, I just want to get that out there. It's random, and I figured who better to tell, with you on the phone.
Listen, at the end of the day, Gallo's always my boy, but you know what? I can care less. I mean, he's always been my favorite player.
Yeah, I'm
the
same way. Once I got over
Stockton, as long as they produce.
Exactly. I want to win so damn bad.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass who's in the court. It could be a freaking kangaroo out there shooting threes. The ball's going in, and we're winning. I don't care.
Listen, we'll say this. You're the Wilson Chandler fan club president. I'm the Gallo fan club president.
And
but you know what? At the end of the day,
is
Landry.
And Spike Lee is Landry.
And
listen, at the end of the day,
Spike.
We all root for our teams, and like you always, it's fun to have favorite players. But at the end of the day, I just want to win so bad. I don't care who's out there shooting. I want to win so bad as a fan.
And absolutely, I wish more fans thought like you, because I really do feel that there's fans out there that they want to see people gone. But who cares? Let's just get the job done and let's just win a championship eventually. It's been 38 years; we deserve one.
Man, it's been a while. Well, listen, the Rangers went 54, and the Red Sox went 86, and the Cubs are still going. And I know there's some other long ones. Vikings. Have the Vikings ever won a championship?
They might have won in, like, the 70s of the Purple People.
But they've never won a Super Bowl,
sure.
I don't think.
They might have. I mean, I know they were in a couple. I don't know if they won, but I know they were in, like, at least one Super Bowl, I believe they were in. So, hey, listen, I'm a Mets fan. I haven't seen a championship. I was born in 85, 86 they won, but I was too young to realize it. So, Mets are going on they're going on 24 years. So, it's not too far away from what the Knicks are doing. So,
I think we'll
get there in the next 3 years, though. What do you think?
I hope so. That's all I can say. I mean, I can't guarantee it because sometimes you can have a good enough team, but sometimes the ball don't bounce your way or the biscuit don't go in your basket. You're just not going to get it regardless. Look at the 2006 Mavericks, Stefano, were an awesome team. And I thought for sure, I remember I watched them at the Garden in January of that year. Even though the Knicks won, it was actually the Knicks' fifth straight victory. I said, this team is awesome. And they were up 2-0 on Miami, a couple bad bounces, Dwayne Wade taking over games, and they lose. So, sometimes you got to get those right balances, too.
How good were the two – I mean, not to bring up D'Antoni, but how good were the 07 – the Suns? How good did they make it?
I pricked them to win the championship. Halfway through the year. They came to the Garden. They obviously kicked our ass. And I'm just like, they're so good. But, I do agree that those suspensions don't happen. That was in the second round. I think they would have played – I don't know whether they played in the conference finals. I forgot. Because that was the second round that happened, actually. But, I think they win the championship. Second round against San Antonio. I forgot who San Antonio played in the conference finals. It wasn't the Lakers because the Lakers got knocked out. It was the Jazz. I think they would have played the Jazz in the conference finals, I think.
Yeah, the Suns played the Lakers that year in the first round. The Suns owned the Lakers like 2 or 3 years ago. But one last thing, and then I'll go. I know you have a lot of callers, but... My philosophy is people's philosophy is you can't win in the East with this system. My philosophy is basketball is basketball, whether it's in New York or it's L.A. or Phoenix or San Antonio.
Great point. It's a great point.
Do you believe that or no? Because,
I do believe that about any system. I mean, listen, there are a lot of teams in the NBA, a lot of coaches in the NBA, and Stefano, as always, man, thank you for the call. You're a great caller, great fan, and I'll see you beat the game on Wednesday. Oh, I guess he didn't too cool to answer. No, I'm just kidding. So, listen, there's only been a few coaches in the last 20 years. Listen, think about this. In the last, let's say 20 years. Ah, God, the last 20 years, so we're in 2011. So going back to 1991, How many different coaches have won championships? Phil Jackson, Rudy Tomjanovich, Rudy T, and then the Bulls won three, so I still Phil Jackson, so Phil, Rudy T, Greg Popovich, Phil Jackson again, Larry Brown, Pat Riley. That's it. Oh, and Doc Rivers. That's it. Not a lot of coaches have won championships in the last 20 years. And you know, you're going to say Jeff Van Gundy's not a winning coach? You're going to say Rick Adelman's not a winning coach? A lot of coaches haven't won championships the last 20 years. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to area code 347-2200. You're on the air. The next call. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I was able
hello?
To get back. Yeah, hello. Yeah, I was able to get back to
you. Okay, yeah, turn the radio off. Who's this?
Yeah, that's Eddie from JFK. I guess I was the first caller for the evening, and then I guess we lost
contact. Call back the next show. This is can't be getting greedy. Come on, I got tons of calls on the line. You try to call twice in the same show. What is this? Come on, Eddie. I love you, but call back the next show. Let's go to area code 516. You're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello?
Hello, Anthony.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? I was watching the game last night and looking at the reaction and all the hype that Mozgov was getting. I'm digging it. I love the MVP chance. It was awesome. It was funny. But looking at the bigger picture, you have to realize
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously, Mozgov. Obviously, Timovey is not the MVP, but, you know, it's still funny when they were chanting. That was hilarious. Timovey. Can you say that with me? Say it.
Timovey.
No, that was terrible.
That was, nah.
Come on. One more time.
Timovey.
All right. What you got?
Not my forte. Anyway, if they're looking to add a big man to the rotation, which I don't really see why they need to do with Chandler's coming back, I think that in reality it should be Randolph. And I know that this is controversial to say, but if you think about what this Knicks team needs, it needs rebounding.
Controversial? This is not,
yeah,
all right, this is not controversial.
Well,
controversial is talking about like politics or religion. Oh, so don't bring up Anthony Randolph. That's controversial. We're probably going to get
Honestly,
it's on the show right now. Unpopular is a better word, not controversial.
The vast majority of Knicks fans would not want to see Anthony Randolph in the rotation, but I think that he brings something to the table that Timothy
But the thing is, you got so many guys. If now you're going to play Mozgov, and you know if you're going to keep playing Billy Walker, you know Billy's playing his little minutes. Tony's going to play. That's 10 guys, you know. And then if you play Mozgov and Billy still plays, that's 10 guys, you know. So Randolph's 11, and you know. Mason's 12. I would think Mason's 12.
Who says Billy Walker deserves minutes? I think
he does. So you're saying you're not going to play. So that's the thing. If you want to play Mozgov, you're not going to play 11 guys. That's the thing.
No, of course. Which is why
right.
I'm saying that Mozgov should not be in the rotation right now. And I know it was impressive.
He's earned. You come in the game, you score 24 points, and you get 24 and 13. You deserve to be in the rotation.
Think about the points that he scored. Half of them were set up by other teammates being generous, throwing.
Well, he's a center. Game. That's how he should get points.
And then
23 and 14. Sorry.
Two jumpers. Let's say that they didn't go in. He wasn't having as good of a game. His confidence wasn't as high.
Well, I mean, that's. Let's sit and hey, man, thanks for the call. I really appreciate you calling in. But that's like saying, oh, what if this guy's shot didn't go in? Well, they went in. He's a good shooter. I'm sorry. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to area code 516. You're on the air. No, let's go to area code 718-258. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony, what's going on? It's Kenyon from Brooklyn.
Kenyon, what's up, man?
Not much, man. I'm listening to the show. I'm glad you kind of segued into what I wanted to talk about with Mozgov. I mean, I've called him before.
You've been wanting Mozgov for a hot minute now, Kenny.
For a long time, but here goes my point. This is what I understand about people getting passes in this town. D'Antoni's a very stubborn individual. Like, how many games
yes,
did he cost the Knicks by not playing someone with that size on the court? You know what I'm saying? Alan Hahn brought up a great point as far as, like, I guess, stubbornized, getting a little banged up because he's playing against centers or whatever the case would be. I don't understand the logic of having somebody as big as Mozgov on your roster the entire time and him not playing. And then
well,
when
we've,
they actually
we've been wondering
the
that for a couple
like,
months now.
And yeah, and when they asked him about it in the press conference, he gave like a kind of a jerk off answer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on,
that's
dude.
Mike.
It's like
that's D'Antoni.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Well, you know what? He has to be held accountable. They tank, like I said, they tank two seasons. They didn't get LeBron. I don't really mind now because Stoudemire seems like he has the guts to play here.
Sorry.
He has the guts to play here, so I don't mind it anymore.
And Kelly,
but
and
I'll
tell you, Kelly Trepuka had a great point. If Mozgov gets 8-8 next game, 8 points, 8 boards, that's really not a step back. I mean, that's what he should do, get 10 points, you know, 5 or 6 rebounds.
But here goes
really
the point. Here goes the point somebody else just made just now. Defensively, when you got someone that size in the paint, teams just can't drive all the time. If you notice yesterday, they were taking a lot of shots. They were stopping before they got into the paint to shoot the ball against the Knicks. So it was like, I don't understand, like, size matters in basketball. I don't know why they try to run. And it's like, it's not like Mozgov is, like, walking up and down the court. He's actually pretty athletic. He's running up and down the court. So why wasn't he getting burned? You know? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't feel he was ready yet. But he's obviously going to be getting some burn now. We'll see how it goes, Kenny.
All right. So how's it going? Everything else is good?
Everything else is good, man. You know, my sister's back in the hospital for a month and a half. You know, I'm going back down there after this, staying the night with her. Everything else is, you know, the show's, you know, you've been rocking with me since the show started, man. It's
yeah, man.
Like
stay
I said,
strong.
Stay strong.
Oh, your sister's going to be all right, man. Just got to keep the faith, man. But, yeah, I've been listening to this. We're going to be all right, but I still got some concerns with the team. But we'll see if we just give them a chance.
No, you're right. You're right.
All right, take care.
Take care, Karen. Thanks for the call, as always. Really appreciate you checking in. 646-478-5554 is the number of the Knicks blog. .com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the calls. Let's go to area code 718-791. You're on the air. The Knicks Blog. .com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello? Okay, nobody's there. Let's go. Oh, let's get Benji back on the line. I know I told Benji he could call back in, and I'm a man of my word because Benji only got a second. So, Benji, what's up, man?
You are now rocking with the best, Tony Rice Balls.
That's it. What's
what's
up, Benji?
On? None, man. You know what? You know what the most refreshing part about having it is, I don't know if you get the same way, but I get so excited when I see like new players and you know play for my team, like specifically.
Yeah, it's always fun, especially if they're playing well. You know,
right, and they give you because you're not used to seeing Mozgov, for example. He's been on a shelf for a month basically. You know, these guys give you something. I mean, every player basically brings something new to the table, right? That's why I'm so eager to see Azubuike, because I just want to see.
Well, I forgot to ask Alan about Azubuike. I mean, I think I hope he gets better, but boy, I just feel terrible. I almost feel like we're never going to see him play.
I know. I read
never
a little.
Say never, but.
Berman had a brief mention of him, like 3 days ago. I almost had a heart attack because I was so excited that I thought that he was improving and. Progressing towards, because it said, his season might not be over. He might get into a game in the next week or so. But then D'Antoni shot it down saying, no, he's not ready. It's going to be a while. It's not going to be next week. But, yeah, that's why it's so refreshing to see. I mean, why can't D'Antoni play Anthony Randolph more? I mean, I thought he did a good job.
I don't know. He did, for what he played last night, he did a good job. He got in the game. He got 4 or 5 rebounds, got a blocked shot. He didn't force anything. He didn't force the issue, as Alan Hahn said. He did a good job. If Wilson comes back on Wednesday, and obviously Sean's going to be back from the suspension, I don't think Anthony Randolph's going to be playing.
Yeah, D'Antoni's. It's weird, right? Once you, it's like with the Godfather, right? Once you cross the Godfather, you're done. It's like D'Antoni. Once you in his doghouse, you're done. But then if you come back, due to extenuating circumstances like injuries or for whatever reason, and you play one good game, you're back. It's like
Nate last year, New Year's Day in Atlanta, hadn't played 14 straight games, drops 40-something, then he's back in the rotation.
Yeah, right. It's kind of weird that he's so rigid with his rotation. Like, he won't deviate from it. You know, I'm watching the game against Atlanta. I'm watching, Al Horford and Josh Smith. By the way, Josh Smith has now moved up the list to my most hated players in the NBA.
Why is that?
He just passed because
night?
he's a complete jackass. That's why he whines about. Just watch the whole game. Just watch Josh Smith play an entire game. This guy complains every time, any call, anything happens. He's the biggest little whiny baby I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, listen to you, Benji, going off.
And then he has the nerve when he hits a three. to make that gesture towards his crotch. I mean, he's a jerk. Guy's a jerk.
Well, it's not very professional to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he irritates me. He's a hell of a player, no question. When we were getting out rebounded in that game, you know, he could have easily gone to Randolph or Mozgov, but he decides not to. You know, it's like it almost takes, like, you know, just something so drastic to get these guys back in the game. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully Mozgov can keep it up. He showed a little bit of skill, knocking down elbow jump shots.
Yeah, he can't expect him to score 23 again, but you could, you know, hopefully he'll give us, you know, if he gave the Knicks 10-10, that's pretty damn good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rap on him was that he wasn't a very good rebounder.
Because
I think early on in the season he wasn't rebounding that well. Like, he's more of like a – he gets a lot of points off the pick and roll. And he's actually got a pretty good touch from the line too. Like, he's in – I think he, for example, could be a better – develop into a better player than, like, Gortat, for example. I don't know if you agree with that.
That's tough to say because, we haven't seen enough of Timofey yet to say that he's going to – you know, Gortat's a pretty good player. So that's tough to say right now. We've got to see a couple more games.
Yeah, the only thing – Timofey just has to make sure that he doesn't – he always flashes up on the when the point guard is at the top of the key, you know, coming off a screen or whatever. He always flashes up and he always gets a foul on that play where he just comes up to the top of the key. He needs to resist doing that because he literally gets at least 2 fouls a game just doing that alone. And he has to save that, you know, when he actually has to battle down low. I'm excited. I think Wednesday will be a nice test. I think we got 7 games left before the All-Star break. It'd be nice to get, you know, 4 or 5 wins going to the break.
Hey, listen, think about this. The Knicks have beaten Miami and San Antonio at the Garden in January. So wouldn't it be nice to kick off February with a win against the Dallas Mavericks?
And I think it's going to happen too. I think we match up well with certain teams, and I think Dallas is a team that, you know, I think we definitely need to get a lot of size for that game because obviously they have Nowitzki and Tyson Chandler's having a really good season, and he's going to be all over the boards. So we really, we got to watch out and make sure that we get Mozgov some run. But yeah, it was. I was thinking about going up for the game on Friday night because it's in Philly, which is not far from me. But it's just it's probably too much of a hassle. I don't know if you're going, but
no, I might go, but I don't think I am right now. You heard the Spike Lee show last week, right?
I heard the show. Yeah, my brother was telling me about it too. He said it was pretty unreal.
Didn't hear it live then?
No, I didn't hear it live. It was pretty awesome. And it was phenomenal. You're definitely blowing up. People are because I know all my friends tell me that they hear me on your show, and so I know a lot of people, you know, beyond people I speak to on a daily basis, you know, listen to you and
means a lot. I put a lot of work into this, you know, from the ground up, you know.
Yeah, the ground up, the grassroots, grassroots, man. But I'm going to try to get up for that Laker game, although tickets are, you know, like $400 literally for like 300 level seats. But
oh, I'm sure.
But, yeah, man, keep doing your thing, man. I hope your sister's doing all right, hanging in there. And, I'll catch you on the flip side, man. Let's get a win on Wednesday night.
Thanks, Benji. Benji, definitely appreciate the call. Definitely appreciate
the call.
All right,
man. Take care. Yeah, bye-bye.
Take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the calls. Let's go to area code. Let's go to area code 917-923. You're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. I just wanted to say that, you know, just by reading comments of, Knicks fans on various blogs, the Knicks blog or Real GM or et cetera, it seems that a lot of the Knicks fans, I think, are too hard on D'Antoni. And I think he's doing a great job.
Well, I mean, everybody's a little harder on the Internet, you know.
That's a good point.
That's why I'm here. That's why I help, you know.
you know, we got these kids, Mozgov and Anthony Randolph, and at the beginning of the year, you know, watching them play, they look totally different than they did in this last game. And I think I think that the coach and the assistant coaches deserve credit for the way they came out and were able to play in this last game. You know,
not only
the coaches, but the players, because the players have been working at it. But, you know, they, at the beginning of the year, those two guys looked like hot garbage. But they were actually able to come out and play and contribute and not hurt the team, which is where, at the beginning of the year,
like
they
weren't
hurting the team.
Yeah, like Alan Hahn was talking about on the show, you know, Herb Williams has been doing a lot of work with Tim Murray the last, you know, month and a half or so, and he wasn't even getting any burn. And, you know, credit him with keeping a great attitude and staying focused and being ready for when he finally got his opportunity, he was going to produce. And he did last night at the Garden.
Yeah, and I'm actually happy that D'Antoni didn't play him for the past couple months or whatever it was, because...
Oh, so you think it helped him? You think it helped him long term?
Well, because I think the kid wasn't ready, and he would have came in, and it would have cost us some games that we had won. With him flopping the ball, you know, Mozgov, you know, can't catch the ball, whatever else. And, you know, he just looked so much better last night than he has for the, you know, when he started at the beginning of the season.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. Of course. I mean, there were some games early, and thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate you checking in that, you know, this Timothy did not really look that good. I mean, just, you know, he looked a lot better, but, you know, let's not forget he's playing against the Detroit Pistons, who stink. You know, also sometimes when you play your first game you haven't played in a while, whether it's off an injury or in a situation like Timofey was in, sometimes your first game back you play on adrenaline and emotion. If you remember, now this was an injury, but if you remember Trace McGrady's first game that he played with the Knicks, he scored like 20-some points in the first half. I'm not comparing Trace McGrady and Timofey, but I'm just saying sometimes you haven't played in a while, you'll play really good just based on emotion, and then you go back to earth the next game. So I'm really interested to see how he plays, how Mozgov plays, you know, in his next opportunity. 646-478-5554, back to the calls. Let's go to area code 908. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, sorry, I lost you. Oh, call right back. Sorry, you're just on the air. My fault. Call right back. I'll put you right through. 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 203. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello? Hey. Going once. Going twice. Not there. Let's go to area code 843. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's up, Anthony? It's the Rod down
what's
in South Carolina.
Durant,
hey,
what's
going
homeboy?
On, man? Timothy.
Nothing's chilling like a villain. What's cracking lacking Durant, baby?
Hey, man, I want to do one thing, man. I want to take something back, man. You know,
okay.
I don't know whether you remember I said this.
Oh, yeah.
I said something
you
about
called
Timothy
up and
Mozgov,
said,
man.
You said,
I wanna...
Timothy. You said he's up.
Yeah, I got to take that back, man. You know, like you told me, you know, he's young. And you got to give him a chance. And I guess I was, you know, was being too patient, man. And, you know, I don't know. But he showed me something last night, man. I said, I watched the whole game. I said, man, if he could give us, if he could do what he did last night, at least halfway, if he can give us maybe about eight, maybe about seven or eight rebounds, nine rebounds a game, about 14 points a game, and maybe a couple blocks, Man, that
would like
be
like
big,
I said, you don't want to get
man.
When a guy plays good or when a guy plays bad, you don't want to get too excited based upon one game.
I know that's the thing, but if he can give us that, you know, I mean at least halfway what he did last night, man, that'd be serious. And I noticed something, man. He stayed out of foul trouble last night. And see, that was his problem in the beginning of the season. He was getting in a lot of foul trouble, real early. But last night, I noticed that he kind of stayed out of that.
He did. He played well last night. Mozgov played well last night. There's no getting around it.
And he got a nice jumper too, man. He kind of reminds me of Gauskas, man, with that jumper. You know, he kind of reminds
yeah,
me.
Yeah,
listen,
let's you know, Big Z's had a really awesome NBA career. Let's not, you know, start the comparisons after one game versus the lowly, terrible, pitiful Detroit Pistons. But I know
right.
But
right.
Listen, I'll tell you this though. I'll tell you this. El Gauskas never dunked the ball like Timofey.
Yeah. I like that, man. I like that. Timothy. I like
that's
that, man. I was laughing at that all night tonight when I heard you saying that, man.
Hey, man,
like
that's
man.
What I do.
Yeah.
You know, I try my best.
I'm going to be using that one now.
All right, hey, listen, if I can help out, please, you know, I'll help out.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, but if we – like I say, if he plays like that, if he can play halfway, but now I thought about another thing last. Another thing I need to take back too.
Dorado or Kwan, how much are you thinking?
I gotta take that
Dorado,
back too about Gallo.
We don't want you blowing fuses now.
No, Gallo looking good.
Gallo's playing great.
Gallo's
playing great basketball.
Good. He's surprising me. He's looking good out there, man. I said, I mean, it's almost to a point where I'm about close to saying last night, like, wait a minute. We might better wait till the summer to get Carmelo. So we don't have to.
Listen, like Alan Hahn talked about on the show, the Knicks are not going to overpay for Carmelo Anthony when they know they could possibly get him over the summer. If there's the right deal to get Carmelo, then the Knicks will do it. Now, I got one. What if the Nuggets want Timofey?
Oh, I don't know about that one. I don't know.
Just saying, something to think about.
I don't know
you're
about
not gonna
that one.
You're not gonna give up Timofey to get Carmelo?
No, I wouldn't do it, man. I tell you what, right now, whoa.
Timeout. Time out, relax, start breathing. You're saying that you would not trade Timofey to get Carmelo Anthony?
No, I don't know, man. I mean, hey, this goes back to this again.
That's crazy. That's,
now this goes back. This goes back to we can possibly get him for nothing. So I mean, imagine
I know. I'm
just
saying, like,
team.
you can't let him be the deal breaker, though. Nothing against him. Nothing against Mozgov, but you can't let him be the deal breaker.
You know what? Honestly, I'm gonna go ahead and say it, and I know it's just one game. I wouldn't trade Timothy. I would not trade him for Melo.
I don't want to trade Landry Fields, but like you know, the Denver Nuggets say like, give us Carmelo Anthony, like. I don't know, Deron. I mean, it's still Carmelo Anthony. You know, we all hope that Timofey becomes a star, but geez, that's a trade for Carmelo Anthony.
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, man. I'm telling you, that guy is he's a beast. Man, I didn't realize how long he is, man. He clogs up that hole.
He does.
I mean, he clogs underneath that basket up. With them big long arms, and I saw the way he was up under that goal, and he stretched them long arms out. I said, wait a minute. And I noticed something. You notice in that fourth quarter, when he was out there, when he was underneath that goal with them long arms, man, that defense got tight. I said, man, look at Mongo.
No, I definitely. Well, listen, Ron, as always, man, thanks for checking in on the show, man. Really appreciate your support.
Anthony, I have to say it, man. He's a beast, man.
Yeah, listen, he played well last night. Oh, and Deron, there's always thanks calling. We'll see. I'm not going to say I'm not going to trade him for Carmelo. I don't want to go that far. 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 704. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello? Let's go to area code 914, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up?
Not much, man. I love the way Mozgov played last night. I'm not going to go too crazy about
thinking he's like the next big center of the league, like some other Knicks fans.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Like,
he played well last night. Take it one game at a time, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, hopefully, you know, I'm assuming he'll get some minutes now in the rotation, and it'll be good to have another big body.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I was actually calling to ask you, because I call a couple times, you know, I always bring up the Melo thing. I was going to ask you if, you know, a couple weeks to the deadline, I think it'll go to the deadline, it's, who would you, if you had to give Denver a trade, and you know, a fair trade that you think would be fair, but not to give up too much that the Knicks would be willing to do, who are the players that are probably going to go if they get the deal done to get Melo by February 24th?
That's a question I don't know, because we can only, that's one of those things you can only guess. We never really know what's going on between texting and phone calls and emails between, you know, Mr. Walsh, Denver's GM.
Yeah.
So
I think?
I think Wilson or Gallo, and then I'd maybe say Landry, but as Alan Hahn said, Denver is not in love with Landry because they have Aaron Aflalo, who plays kind of like Landry. So that's a tough one. You know, maybe Raymond Felton's involved, and you get Chauncey Billups back. That's a possibility.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't trade Felton to get Billups back. I mean, my feeling is Denver's going to – the way Denver's saying, they're like – Denver, the way they were acting with New Jersey, I would not be shocked if Denver's like, all right, you want Mel? Well, you got to take – they're going to try to throw with Al Harrington and Ronaldo Baldwin. You watch them. They'll try to keep throwing as much – stuff at us. So, like, well, you guys take this contract on that. That's why they're acting ridiculous, even with New Jersey after a while. They're like, they had a great deal, and they were just trying to throw more on. They're like, oh, well, we got this far. Let's just keep going with more stuff. And it was like, I think that's another reason New Jersey just said, forget it already.
Yeah, no, it was just getting, like Alan said, it was just getting out of control. It was getting out of control.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, they still have to make the deal. I mean, I love, you know, I'm happy that they're doing great. You know, I've been a long-suffering Knicks fan for, you know, all these years. And
oh,
it's great to see him competitive now. Yeah, and it's in, like, you know, you can agree, it's great to see him in the competitive, and the way it's looking, they'll probably be in the playoffs. I mean, they're pretty much in that sixth seed right now. So,
once they get really, really hot, it seems that they're going to be in that sixth seed.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, out of all those teams they could possibly play, obviously, you want them to be playing the Bulls, because right now
Absolutely.
They're the same matchup best of the Bulls. I mean, obviously, they haven't played the Bulls at their full strength because either Boozer or Noah's been hurt. But, you know, I think the Bulls are the team that they would match up the best with. Now, I don't think that they're going to win a first-round series unless they get
Carmelo
Anthony.
We'll see. Playoff basketball is about getting hot at the right time. So that's one of those things. You know, I'm not going to say they're not going to win. We got to see. You know, ask me in March. Still a lot of basketball left.
Absolutely. And, you know, I hope for the best with them. I'm just happy that they'll be, you know, I'm just happy that they'll be in the playoffs, you know, because that's enough for me, at least right now. Obviously, you know, in New York, everyone wants to get as good as you could possibly get and, you know, want that championship. But I think, you know, just to be in a winning situation is good enough for me right now. I mean, especially from what we were in, you know. And I'm surprised Donnie Walsh hasn't even gotten that extension yet from James Dolan. Does he not want to keep him around?
Yeah, I'm kind of – that's, you know, a bad job by me. That's something I didn't ask Alan Hahn that I should have. Yeah, I'm surprised that Donnie Walsh has yet to get an extension. But I'm sure Donnie Walsh will be back.
If there's anyone who could screw that one up, it's James Dolan. Like, find a way to, like, screw up a good situation. I mean, the guy has taken us – Donnie Walsh basically came into a terrible organization, you know, we were in such a bad – I mean, you know, obviously, you know what it was. And he basically turned into what
it is now.
Oh,
that every game.
Of
course.
And look what he turned it into. I mean, it's unbelievable. And, like, you know, the guy's great, and he's still looking to make moves to make him even better. And, you know, I just don't understand what James Holland's thinking.
Unless you're undefeated after 40 games, I mean, you always got to look to make moves to make your team better. You know?
Exactly. Oh, and I don't understand what James Dolan – he says that as a spotlight, but, I mean, what's there to question? I mean, unless Donnie Walsh is looking to leave or something because he's trying to, you know, get old or something. I mean, the guy's been great.
No, he has. And that's something we're going to have to see. And, hey, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. No doubt, man.
We check it in. No, of course. I mean, I am kind of surprised that Donnie Walsh has yet to get an extension, but you'd have to think that he will. I think I just hung up on somebody, so please – call
back. Hang on, man, but I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Oh, my bad. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate you checking in. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. If you're just tuning in, Alan Hobb is on with me. It's the first part of the first hour, so go back to thenixblog.com and check that show out. Also, to hear past shows, past interviews with Spike Lee, Landry Fields, Wilson Chandler, make sure you go to thenixblog.com and hear those past shows if anybody is new to the show. Also, hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. 646-478-5554 is the number. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to area code 908. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, what's up? Tick-tock. Hello? I heard you. You said hello to me, giving you a chance. You lost a chance. 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 646-326. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Ant. What's going on, man? Just wanted to give you a call and see, who do you think the Knicks are looking to draft next year? You know, I'm a graduate of Florida State, so I was real psyched when we got Tony on board. And maybe Chris Singleton could also be a good addition to the squad. He might go a little earlier than we could get, but who do you think we're looking at next year in the draft?
I have no idea. I mean, it's January. The Knicks and the Rockets have a right to swap picks, but, you know, it seems that won't happen because the Rockets will have a worse pick. And
right.
I'm not really sure. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure who the Knicks are. You know, you're talking about the Knicks going to get, what, the 20th pick, 22nd pick? I don't know. You know, who knows what's going to happen with trades? Maybe they might trade their first-round pick for Carmelo. Who knows?
Right.
I don't think they're going to be able to get Jimmer Fredette, but you never know. Maybe they'll make a trade for him. Maybe he'd be fun at the Garden, right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, huh?
Of course.
All right, well, have a great night, man. Keep up the great work, and talk soon.
Hello? All right. Thanks for the call. Little late-night funky stuff going on there. It's all good. 646-478-5554. Got a lot of fault lines open right now. So if you're chilling out, got about 10 more minutes left of the show. If you're hanging out and you realize this is what I want right now on the show. This is what I want. I want somebody that's been a diehard fan of this show, whether it's been a month, 2 months, a year, that's been a diehard fan. This is what I want you to do. Take a deep breath. Pick up your phone. Someone that's never called but has been a diehard fan. Maybe you tweet me all the time. You know, you follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Maybe you hit me on Facebook. But you've never called this show. I want you to pick up the phone. I want you to call the show right now because I want to take a first-time caller. Someone that's supported me but has never called in, I want you to pick up your phone right now, dial 646-478-5554. I'm going to talk some Knicks or NBA. I want to hear from a new caller. So until then, I want to go back to the calls that are on the line right now, 646-478-5554. And let's go to area code 917-567. You're on the air at thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello? Hello? Yeah. 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 347-331. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Hello? What's up? I hear you. I don't know what's going on with the callers now. Not really sure what's going on with the callers right now. Give me, try back again, 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 504. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's up, Anthony?
What's up?
Not much. This is Poole from New Orleans by way of Long Island. I listen to your show all the time, and I just heard
Thank you
say give you a call. I've been listening to it for about 2 months now. My wife thinks I'm crazy because I walk around the house with the headphones on and talk about Anthony Rice Balls.
Awesome. That's all. Hey, does your wife think I'm crazy, though? There was another caller. There's another caller that called me last week. Said his wife hates my voice. So he promised that he would get his wife to call in.
Yeah, he tried to call at home and he was at work. I heard that one too.
Does your wife hate my voice?
No, nah, she doesn't. She's never heard it. She just thinks I'm crazy because I walk around talking about I gotta get home to check out the show. So let's go, honey.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and see. I've been here.
Hello. Hey, I think I lost you. Why don't you try back, get your better service, and get you right back up. 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 516. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go to area code 646-703. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Timofey Mozgov.
What's going on?
What up, man? I'm one of those callers you were asking for. I've listened to your show for a while and
thank you.
But I've never, and I love your show. But anyway, so one thing no one's mentioned tonight was that if we trade for Carmelo and we do end up giving away a lot of our guys, which I don't really want to do, and it would be nice because Carmelo's great and he could probably take the place of Wilson Chandler, Danilo Gallinari. But
right.
If we do get him, then we have we do have Timothy Mozgov, and I don't know much about Anthony Randolph. I don't think he's all that. I think he's a better guy to trade. But if we do get Carmelo, is there a possibility that we could also get? I heard rumors about getting Marc Gasol. Could we also get him?
I mean, I think that'd be tough to get them both. I'd say one thing I always say in sports, you never know, but I think it's possible to get one of the two. I think it'd be tough to get Marc Gasol and Carmelo before the trade deadline, you know, over the summer. I suppose that's a possibility.
Eventually.
You know, you never know what's going to be like in the CBA, the new rules, but I would doubt they'd be able to get Carmelo Anthony and Marc Gasol both in orange and blue by the trade deadline. That seems pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, because like, we only have one center, pretty much. Because Ronnie Turioff, I don't think he's going to last for more than a year or two. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's a great player. I love him. But we just have, right now, our only true center, it is Ronnie Turioff and Timothy. And we need two guys who are reliable. Because we can't have, Amari wants to play a power forward. If we're going to be winning a championship with this team, we need two centers who can come in and out of the lineup. And we're not going to have an all-star center, so we're going to need two guys who are both pretty good if we're going to have Carmelo and Amari.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't know who that other guy is going to be, but, you know, obviously.
I mean, we never know. We won't know until we wake up and there's a trade.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
I mean,
all right, Anthony.
Like I said, we'll see. I mean, I'm really excited about this team right now. I'm not sure if you necessarily need two centers, but I'm definitely excited about this team, and you got to take it one game at a time. That's really all I could say.
You know, I'm only 16 years old, so but I've been watching the Knicks since I was young.
You're 16?
Yeah, so, you know, I
really...
Wow,
you know what's crazy about that? You've never seen the Knicks be relevant until this year in your life.
No. I remember them having Patrick Ewing when he was stumbling up and down the floor, but other than
that... You were 5 years old. Patrick last year. Was it 99?
I remember the day he came back to the Garden from, I don't even know what team he got traded to, but I remember when the Knicks.
February 27th, 2001. Was it February 28th? One of the two. That doesn't matter what date it was. But
I remember that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And that there was a big, on the TV, there was the big special showing all the stuff of Patrick Ewing. I hadn't even seen that before. And my whole family was saying, yeah, that was the best
that,
Knicks.
I think that was the night. I think most Knicks fans appreciated Patrick Ewing. And, hey, man, thanks for the call. Hey, thank you for listening to the show. Keep listening. And I appreciate it. I think most Knicks fans always appreciated Patrick Ewing, but there was definitely a group of fans that didn't. And that was the night that everybody appreciated Patrick Ewing. When he came back as a Sonic, that was one of the coolest ovations I've ever seen. I wish it never happened, but it did. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to area code 917. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing? This is H. Vargas. Hector, how you doing?
Hey, Hector. What's up, man?
Hey, man, I got a couple of interesting quotes from Melo from tonight's game. Tell me what
sure.
you think of it. Hello?
Yeah, yeah. What do you
he
want
goes,
me to tell you?
Melo, I'm going the distance. CBA is in the back of my mind, but as far as not being afraid to play this out, I'm not. Then the next question, it goes, Melo basically follows that up, and basically, I'm going to add this in, though. It says, if that's what it's going to take to be with the Knicks, then so be it.
Huh, that's pretty. I mean,
basically,
I don't know.
If that's what it's going to take for me to ride out the rest of the year, then so be it. Those are quotes from tonight's post game.
So what? I guess we'll see, man. I know. I guess we'll
yeah.
see. It's just one of those things, man. We just got. There's going to be a lot of quotes, and we just got to ride this thing out. We got to ride this thing out till it's over. Either way, we got to ride it out.
Yeah, big game on Wednesday. It's gonna be a nice matchup, Nowitzki and Stoudemire. Two big power forwards going at it. What do you think is gonna be the key? What's gonna be the matchup
I mean,
for you other than those two big guys?
It's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be up and down. You know, contain Jason Terry in the fourth quarter. You know, Nowitzki's gonna get his. You know, try to block out Tyson Chandler as much as he can. You know, it's gonna be a good game, man. Dallas Mavericks are a great team. It's gonna be a good game. It's going to be a fun game, and hopefully the Knicks can come out with a W.
I hear you. We'll be watching. Have a good night,
Andy.
Is this
your first time calling the show?
No. I've called a couple of times. So I'm actually from
Charlotte,
North Carolina.
Okay, I know. I've tweeted with you many times. Okay.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I was the one driving that night from Charlotte.
Oh, that's right. I remember. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I've called a couple of times, definitely.
Awesome. Well, you've been a great fan. I really appreciate your support, 100%, man.
All right, thanks, man. Keep up the hard work, man.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. 646-478-5554 is the number. How about this? Marc Gasol with a hell of a game tonight with 26 points, 11 assists, and two rebounds. I just got a message. That's weird for a big guy. Two rebounds. Pretty crazy. 646-478-5554. Let's go to area code 516. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony, it's Lizette.
What's up, Lizette? What's going on?
Not much. I've never called before, but I've been listening. I'm a pretty diehard Knickerbocker fan.
Welcome aboard.
I can totally relate to the kid who is 16 years old. I'm only 17, and, I mean, I was born a Knicks fan, but I feel like you can be born into it, but then you have to have your own revelation of it, you know? And
absolutely,
like,
of course.
It wasn't until I went to my first Garden game, and it was Christmas Day, I'll never forget, and it was the Knicks
first. Well, Christmas Day, so it had to be Christmas Day last year?
No, it was a while ago. It was either
2001? Because they've always, it's funny because they played on Christmas Day in 1999, and they played on Christmas Day in 2001, and they didn't play on Christmas Day until 2009.
I
want to
say it was
so,
99 because it was versus the Toronto Raptors and it was versus
2001 because in 1999 it was in Indiana actually. So unless you went to Indiana to hang out with the Hicks out there,
not chill. Yep.
He was hanging out with the Hicks in Indiana.
No,
nah,
man,
game?
I was too busy trying to shoot Reggie Miller. That's one of.
I saw Reggie Miller play at the Garden a few times, man. That was back in the robbery days, and I was like. I went to some Knicks Pacers games when I was your age, like 16, 17, and God, you're making me sound old, and I'm really not that old, but man, but yeah, it's good, some good times for those Knicks Pacers, Knicks Heat games, a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, I just feel like the new generation of Knicks fans, I mean, don't just take these victories, like, you got to sit down and you got to watch, like, the old school games, watch the Bernard Kings, you know, like, get your history up, you know?
Of course. No, I like that. I like you really know your stuff. That's good. What's your... Since you haven't seen many great Knick moments, what would you say is your best Knick moment that you remember?
Wow. there's a couple of them. I mean, I feel like Jamal Crawford's, when he had, how many points was it? It was, 50-something point game. Yeah.
52, January 2007, and he made 16 straight shots at one point.
Yeah, and I'll never forget. I was in my kitchen and I just started dancing. I was like, ah, sad.
You're dancing? Okay, I remember being at that game. That was fun. I remember talking to Jamal after the game.
Brandon Tier and I were talking to his mom. I really went up to him like, yo, can we feel your hand? Like, he was so hot, man. He scored. He hit 16 straight jump shots. That was crazy.
Yeah, man. That was. I mean, I thought Ben Gordon was going to do that the other night.
Yeah, it's too bad the Knicks never won with Jamal. I mean, it doesn't matter because in sports it don't matter if you're good guys, but I really wish David Lee and Jamal Crawford could have been around for them winning, but, you know, that's sports. You know, it is what it is.
Another great moment. David Lee's tipping. What?
No, that was good. That was great. I was there for that, too. I mean, I was probably there for everything the last 10 years, but I was there for that as well. That was fun.
Man, I really hope I can just get up to the point where I can buy some season tickets, man. I need it.
Well, you know, hopefully I'll see you at the Garden soon.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
All right, take care. Thanks for checking in. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Keep it up. Bye.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate it. 646-478-5554. Got time for a few more calls on the show. And let's go to area code 646-342. You're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Anthony.
That's me.
Nice balls. The
That's
man.
Me. That's me.
Glad to get to your first time caller. This is Copo from Long Island.
Your voice sounds familiar, though, for some reason.
Well, I've actually chatted with you on Facebook. On TK.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, if we chatted on Facebook, I wouldn't know your voice, though.
No, you wouldn't know my voice, but I guess I just got a familiar tone. But, you know, New York City in the house, so you know how
what's
the flag
goes. Do you have a real... Is Coco... What?
Cody is my real name.
Okay. What's up, Cody?
Yo, but definitely Timofey Mozgov. Got to
Timofey.
Say from there. Timofey. You know what time it is. Come on now. I mean, the rookie has put his best face on. He's come out there. You know, he was cold in the beginning of the season, but you know, if you've seen any of his games in the European league when he was in the FIBA World, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
He played pretty well. He didn't rebound great, but he played pretty well.
Exactly. He had great hands. I mean, you know, I don't know what happened to his hands. You know, when he came into the NBA, he had butterfingers, but he had good hands. You know, he was quick. He had some steals. You know, he could shoot. So I'm glad to see that all of those things are coming back now. And, you know, we need this type of guy in the paint. We need that type of muscle.
If he can keep it up, you know, he's got to keep it up. Remember, he just had one game, but hopefully he can keep it up.
Sure, definitely. You don't want to judge him on this one game. But the type of talent that he has, that he had before he even got here, you know, he just had to get it NBA quality. You know,
we just got to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Oh, God, I got a frog in my throat.
Oh, that's all right. You know, man, you've been talking all night. You know, it's all good.
I do talk a lot. Not good at much in life, but I can talk.
Hey, you know, well, you're doing your thing, man. I'm happy. I listen to the show all the time. You know,
thank
I'm always at over at the blog, you know, blogging it up. You know, I chatted you out on Facebook just to, you know, give you my blessings with your sister and everything that was going on.
Thank you very much.
You
it
know,
means a lot.
Yeah, man.
It definitely does.
I'm behind you. I'm glad you're here. You know, you got the Knicks fans, you know, all together. You gather us up. You know, you make us feel good. You know, you keep our heads up high when sometimes just these guys are playing a little rotten. But, you know, you tell it like it is, man. I love it. I'm glad you're here. Definitely.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate the nice call, man. That truly means a lot. And definitely call back again, okay?
Yep, definitely. Take care, my friend.
Really appreciate it. Really nice, man. I tell you what, some of these fans I've had an opportunity to talk to and tweet to and Facebook to you guys are mean so much to me. Without you guys, I wouldn't have anything. So, listen, I got time for one last call on the show tonight. It's been a fun show, as always. So let's finish it off with area code 347-638. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony?
That's me.
Hey, how you doing, Anthony, man? First-time caller? Just wanted to
talk
about...
Okay, what's up? Welcome aboard.
Thanks. I just want to talk about Gallinari, man, and how his game is transcending, especially defensively. Like, a lot of people are overlooking that. And I noticed this year more than... I mean, last year was more... Like, you've seen him put an effort into defense, but this year you've seen him defensively come all together. But he
yeah, last year
technique.
Was more just a lot of side-to-side, uncoordinated type things.
Exactly. This year you see him with much more technique, causing charges, and he just looks awesome defensively. To me, he's actually turning into probably the Knicks' most all-around on-the-ball defender. to me.
He's played. I'm not going to say he's a great defender yet, but he's definitely been playing pretty decent defense.
He definitely has.
No doubt about it.
Even when opponents score on him, I mean, it's not like he's getting burned or any. Like let's just say, for instance, the shot Kevin Durant hit. I mean, he was all over him. It was just a good shot.
Anybody guarding Kevin Durant that night, I mean, Kevin Durant was going to make. I mean, Kevin Durant made a fadeaway three-pointer.
Three.
That was insane.
Yeah. Tough shot. But Gallo.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah. You're right. But Gallinari definitely, I mean, the play that sticks out to me more than all his other defensive plays was the charge he got on Carmelo against Denver. That play just stands out to me, and I think that's where he definitely got
confident. Gallo's been drawing a lot of charges. He has. He's been top five in the league in that. He's been great with that.
Underrated footwork, man.
I agree.
Yeah, man. No, I just wanted to talk about that. Like, defensively, he just really impresses me, and it's more than just everything. Now he actually has technique behind it.
No, he definitely does. He's definitely playing well. Hey, I appreciate you checking in, though. I appreciate you calling in. Definitely, please call back again. Don't be a stranger.
No problem, man. Thanks.
No, thank you, man. Thank you for all the callers. It's been a great show tonight, as always. Make sure to hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Thank Alan Hahn for Tuesday.
Cash money,
back tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Private jet.
Blog.com, Spark Radio. Good night, everybody. Take care.
With a priceless glow, high life, flipping and get some more. Paradise, the luxury marble flow. When I hit me full of that cash. More money than I seen in the garbage can. Sun and island, money and the power. That's how we do it, make it rain, make it shower. Top flow, big time, I'm doing big things. Over city view, phone short, a new range. Flipping on a hundred, popping joint hundreds. In the new building, uptown summer.
To the gold line, straight out the huddle. Cash money, gold mine, we just stay loyal. Boy, we getting money like we just found oil. And that's word to my red flag. I live first and leave the bush, dead last. I lay it down so hard, I got a bed rash. And I just tell them to loaf it when the bread pass. Staring at you from the top of the game, man. I might drop the world if I change hands. It feels good to be here. Weezy in the building, got his 3 billion young money.
I look up through the sky.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.